Hi everyone, I'm Margot, and this is a place where the sticky questions of life can find their answer. When I first thought of doing a show like this, I found the prospect really exciting, and I still do. More than that, though, I see it as a privilege, and I'm grateful for those who ask questions and those who listen to me. Sometimes I identify this as a kind of Dear Abby kind of show, but really I think it's a whole lot more than that. One of my main platforms is that we need to clear the subconscious blocks that are causing the issues that show up in our lives. Issues that can absolutely be about anything, behavioural, emotional, mental and physical. I don't like to use words that give us labels that become a part of our identity, like anxiety. I am an anxious person. I have anxiety. My anxiety. What those terms do is label us to be something that we actually would rather not be. So I say, don't use those terms. Stop saying my anything if you don't want that thing. Don't say my cancer, my anxiety, my depression, my suffering. Oh, what a vile word that one is. Why on earth would anyone say my and own that thing that you're trying to get rid of? Now, that's a definition of counterintuitive. I don't underestimate the impact of such states on our lives at all. I've seen it up close. I think we all have. How debilitating and undermining it is to constantly feel concerned about things that we call being anxious. I say, I'm feeling jumpy about something. Do you see that makes that thing lighter and more temporary than saying, my anxiety is ruining my life? That's what's happening. People's lives are being ruined by the issues that they are dealing with every day. Not just emotions, but physical things like pain and health issues. I show people how to engage their own minds and the way they speak to bring about change. The subconscious allows us to unlock things that keep us stuck. The conscious is all about how we think and speak. And the third part of what I do is huge. It's about who we really are. It's the superconscious, the whole dance of life and how it's supposed to work. Our value as human beings, but even more than that, more than just being human beings, I like to say we're immortal beings because that kind of makes us stop and think. If death is not the end of our life, but just the end of our life on earth at this time, then that means we are immortal. I love that. We are bigger and more than just what's in our skin. This pursuit of understanding the superconscious and how that works in life is fascinating. You may prefer to say your relationship with God. Personally, that's my take, but for people who have issues with God that they haven't quite sorted, it's easy to say the universe. Nobody gets fluffy about that. And the worst thing is to miss an important message because you're hung up on terminology. So if you say, well, I don't believe in God, that's fine for you to choose that, but listen anyway because the universe is always talking to us, always has something to say to us. I'm a conduit for those messages, some of them, and I'm so happy that I have an opportunity at the end of each show to share that direct connection with you. We call it the Word. My entire life work rests on this truth, that we are creators of our reality. So let's not do it by default, but by deliberate intention. We are not powerless. We are powerful, and we just need to know how to step into that power. So let's go now to our first question, which is from India. It's about letting go. How do I finally let go of something or someone, she says, when I still feel like it owns a part of me, that he owns a part of me? Letting go isn't just about releasing a memory or a person, India. It's about exiting the state where that story still defines you. We never let go by pushing something away. We let go by stepping into a new place ourselves, a state of already being free. And that's so empowering for us. Who are you without the emotional tie to this person or situation? Not the version trying to forgive or forget, but the version of you that's already healed, liberated, free. I'm speaking to myself here as much as anyone, because we constantly need to be looking at ourselves. I do try to make sure I'm walking my talk and that I'm living what I preach. It's a lifelong mission, I think, to keep ourselves on track and, of course, for what we want and how we see ourselves. Imagine walking through your day feeling light. There's space where the knot used to be. You no longer need closure. You no longer need to be right or validated. You're no longer chewed up by what was wrong or what went wrong. You've moved into a completely different state, the one where that old story no longer sticks to you. Can you use your amazing ability to picture your desired state? Can you step right into that dream you have of being free from that thing or person? If your wish is to be free, then live from that freedom. Think from it. Walk from it. Speak only of that. Sometimes we hold on, not necessarily because we want the person back, but because we still identify with who we were in that story. Think about it. If they made you feel good at that time, it's the feeling good that you want and not necessarily that particular person. So focus on the feeling good and let the person go. Remember, if someone doesn't want you, you must respect yourself enough and value yourself enough that you don't want that person who doesn't want you. Why would you? It takes two to make a relationship. If one doesn't want it, it matters not one iota that the other person does. No one gets to choose or decide for someone else. This isn't a battle. Think of it as an upgrade in identity. Cut the cord and move to a different frequency, one where you are happy and free without that thing that you no longer choose and that most certainly does not own you. Only you own you. Letting go isn't the end, it's the beginning of the next chapter, which is full of possibility, even if it doesn't quite feel like that now. I'm not saying it's easy to cut someone loose or to forgive something bad and to disassociate from that thing in your past, but only you can decide to do that. Only you. You choose a different path, take that fork in the road, and then keep moving along it. I often get my best ideas and inspiration first thing in the morning, and when I woke up today, I got an image of a train depot and the term to hook your caboose. I looked it up, and it's slang for being the carriage to hook onto a train. My image was that we get to choose where to hook our caboose, and we have three choices. We can hook it onto a train that's parked and going nowhere, so we go nowhere. It's just more of the same. We can hook onto a train that's going back to where we've been. I don't need to elaborate on that. Or we can hook onto a train that's going where we want to go, that's going to our destination. We choose. We each have both the privilege and the responsibility to choose for ourselves. I hope that makes sense for you in your particular situation, India. Think about it and try to approach it from that point of view. Our next question is from Ivan, and it's about manifesting love. Our questions today are brought to you by the letter I for confidentiality of our inquirers. Ivan says, I've done the work. I'm open. I'm ready, but I still don't have the relationship I want. What am I missing? Well, today I'm not going to talk about the practical things in terms of finding love. Let's look at it metaphysically. If we are indeed creatures who attract what we project, who live subject to the life law that I call the boomerang effect, that is, the energy you send out gives you the result in kind that comes back to you. The subconscious question in this is to be sure that you are asking for what you really want, not just what you think you want. For example, I have a friend who values her independence highly, and I have seen her reject men because she feared she would lose her independence, her treasured independence. One of my daughters observed that she didn't think this friend would ever partner up with anybody because she so fears losing her freedom. It's so interesting. So pop into your inner self, Ivan, and ask yourself, is there anything in you that is stopping you from connecting with someone who's a match for you? I had a client who was on a mission to do something in life, and even though he wanted to be happily married, he didn't want that more than he wanted to achieve this particular mission. He was not prepared to accept love until he could tick off his mission. He didn't realize it for quite a long time and didn't understand why he didn't meet the right woman for him. But there was the answer sitting in his subconscious thinking. It was his underlying reason for not being available. So, number one, check your subconscious. What is it? They say not what you say that you want, but what you really want, what's really of primary importance to you, is the thing that's going to show up and could be the reason that's blocking your meeting somebody. The second point I'd like to make is this idea of resonance with what we're projecting and that it's going, that's going to respond to us. If you long for love, if you're desperate because you haven't found love, if you feel intensely the lack of love in your life, then that's what you're sending out. That's the energy. It's the energy of absence of what you want. So in the boomerang scenario, that's what comes back to you. You're sending out the absence and you're getting the absence back. You may not like to hear this. None of us do. But once you get hold of this concept, you realize there's power in your own hands to change your energy output and therefore to change your story, the one you tell about your situation. Talk about what you want, not what's missing. This changes how you show up in the world. It changes your point of attraction. Let's make it simple. Life is like a mirror. When you look in the mirror, you're going to see what's being projected into the mirror. That's what's going to come back to you. You cannot look in a mirror and see something other than what you're projecting. You can't have what you aren't. By the way, that includes your wish list in a person. You can't have lofty qualities in someone if you don't have those lofty qualities yourself. It's an imbalance that will never work. Don't see this as something impossible to change in yourself. Everything is possible for you. Just take it moment by moment, step by step. And when you look in the mirror, say hello to yourself as a person who already has what you want, whether it's love or any other thing. Let's go a bit further with this and talk into how you step into the state you want, assuming you already have what you want. In terms of love, try to step into that surround feeling of being loved and adored by somebody. If you can grasp that feeling, it will change your demeanor. It will change your energy, your resonance, your point of attraction. You are very powerful. You can do this. What do you have to lose if what you've been doing hasn't worked? Then change it and live as though you already have what you want. Shift yourself out of a waiting and wanting state into a thank you very much, this is fabulous state. Now that's clearing the blocks to your success. I'd also like to add that anyone who poo-hoos this hasn't tried it, or has but fell off the wagon too soon and stopped holding fast to their new story. Close your eyes and step into the version of you who is already in love. What does it feel like to wake up beside someone who adores you? What does your body know in that state? How do you stand? What do you stop worrying about? How do you see the world now? To manifest love, you must stop identifying as someone who is searching and start living as someone who has already chosen and been chosen. This is not pretending, it's creation. When you feel loved truly and deeply, your outer world begins to reflect it. You begin to show up with softness, clarity, magnetism. You start speaking differently. You start saying no to what you used to settle for and yes to what you are a match for. If you follow that thread, Ivan, know that you will be in the very best position to attract the girl of your dreams. Our next question is about reclaiming power, and it's from Isla. She says, I know I've given my power away in relationships, in work, in the way I speak to myself. How do I take it back? Well, our power, as you can probably tell, is my favorite thing to talk about. When you've been living from a state where you're living under and not over circumstances, where you've been subject to anything outside of yourself, your world will have reflected that. But the moment you shift into the version of you who knows her worth, everything must change, Isla. The world must shift accordingly. People talk about the law of attraction and the law of reciprocity and the law of many other things, cause and effect. We say these are universal laws. What they are, in fact, is life laws. We live with these laws. We can't opt out of them. Gravity is a law of life. It always works. So let's call these things not universal laws, but life laws, because they apply to every single one of us, not just to those of us who, in inverted commas, believe. You can't opt out of the laws of life. They work by default if we don't take charge of them and use them intentionally. I'm all about our ability to create change that we want by using these life laws, not just intentionally, but with specific direction. Why? Because why do we want to be living a life where we have no say, where we're tossed about by every wind of change and circumstance and outside influence in our lives? What kind of life is that? Let's stop it immediately. Imagine if more of us could get hold of this truth, that we have not just the power, but also the right to change our lives and our world for good, to change our health, to change our circumstances, to change what shows up for us. I'm speaking up because I know this is the way forward for us as individuals and as an entire human race. If we don't pick up and run with it, we're like a person who's shut in a room with four walls and we think that's the beginning and end of it. But it's just a room. If we could open the door, we could see the whole house. And if we could open that door, we would see the world. And if we were to look up, we'd see the entire expanse of the physical universe above and around us. And we would also understand that we are a drop in the ocean. We are made of the same stuff as the ocean, the same stuff of the universe that created all of this. You don't need to fight for your power. You just need to see who you are and step into it. Isla, to take back your power, you must begin by acknowledging your intrinsic worth. There is only one of you, and only you can do what you are here in life to do. Spend some time getting to know what that is and be proud of who you are. When you value yourself, you won't accept trish-trash from others. And as your self-perception changes, you will find that others treat you accordingly. Here's a little exercise that will help you to get really clear on this. Write down what's happening in your life under categories: friends, family, romantic relationship, work, etc. All the unsatisfactory things. Then cross them out and write the words you want in each of those: respect, acknowledgement, encouragement, etc. Write out a little movie scene where you are the star and all the good things you've written down are a part of your movie. That becomes a new story you tell yourself. It becomes a movie you run through early in the morning and last thing before you sleep. It's who you have stepped into being. This is how you change your reality. You change your recognition of yourself, and then you change your expectations. Try that, Isla, and see how you go. Our last question today is from Ivan, who says, I'm at the edge of something new, but I don't know what's next. How do I move forward when I can't see the path? My response to this is that there are two things to look for. One is clarity and one is faith. Now, faith is a funny one because people often think, oh, well, that's a God thing and I don't do God. But also, we have faith in life. We have faith and belief that things will work out. We have faith that when we sit on a chair, it's not going to fall and collapse. So we have faith in science. We have faith that the sun will come up, that when it rains, it'll water the garden, that a seed planted will grow. We put faith in other drivers when we get in our car. None of us can say we don't have faith. So let's look at faith in general terms as faith in life itself. We'll come back to faith, but I want to talk about clarity. I often talk to people who don't know what they should be doing with their life and who don't know or can't see clearly what they're good at and what in terms of work will be satisfying for them. There are two aspects to this. Are you good at it and do you like or love it? People say to me, oh, work, and they sigh and wish for the weekend. But I love my work and I know many people don't. It's a place to aim for. Why would we dedicate our whole lives to doing something that doesn't make us happy? You might say, yes, but I just need to get a job and pay the rent. I do get that. All of us have probably been in such a situation. Even people who are doing amazing things now began with a paper run or as a courier. Nothing wrong with making a life around any job if you enjoy it. I see people who live and work in a small community that they're happy with, and I admire them if that's what they want. We're talking here about people who are looking for their purpose and place. They want to find the thing they're here to do. Let's look at this with the three parts of us, the subconscious, the conscious, and the superconscious. From a subconscious perspective, you're going to need to ask yourself, is there anything in me that's blocking this clarity for me that might be holding me back? Has anything happened in my life that's influenced me to not being clear about what my next step should be? It could be, for example, that someone told you you wouldn't amount to anything. Many of us will have heard that. Or that you saw success might ruin your life, your home life, your acceptance. It could be that you feel if you're successful, then you'll be alienated from your friends and family. Could be that you don't believe you're worth what you're seeking or good enough. So investigate that. Next, let's look at the level of our conscious mind and the story we tell to ourselves and about ourselves and all that flows on from that. You need to choose a story of the you who already has what you want. Even if you don't have the specifics, create a scene where you already are clear and you've got to the place you want to be. You can use the same paper test. Write down where you are, how it makes you feel, then write down what you want and create a scene from that. Maybe at the end of this, you could imagine someone saying to you, wow, you did it. Wow, that's amazing. That scene, that feeling is your anchor. You don't need to know how it's going to happen at the moment. You just need to hold on to that feeling and pull yourself into that. Be a person who's thrilled with the new thing or job, and then just follow the threads that present themselves. I call it keeping your antenna up for what you should do next. Expect it. This is the part of the superconscious. Always expect the answer and watch for it. See yourself as having access to the clarity you seek. I do hope that helps. And please, anyone else, send your questions in to us at admin@coastaccessradio.org.nz or to me under the contact tab at margounlimited.com, Margo with a T. Thank you so much for joining me today. Let's hear what the universe would have us know. This is what I call the word. And this was a response to a question I asked about a dream I'd had. Often I think dreams are just a mishmash of things that are in our mind, but sometimes they have an important message for us. This is a response I got. Every good and perfect thing is from me. I am goodness and perfection. I am the present, the past, the future, the story, the plot, the ending. I am all. Step into me and your story will be one of dreams come true. So why would you doubt that that dream was from me? So good. Thank you. This is Ask Margot. I'm Margot de Coatsworth. See you next time.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.